reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
After Jesus had finished teaching the disciples, John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones to believe in, it would be better for you if a millstone hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to end life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell.
And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched." The Gospel of the Lord.
I'd like to just share with you a true story that is really amazing, one of those really good news stories. Millard Fuller, he attended law school at the University of Alabama in the early 1970s. And his goal, he said, was to become fabulously rich. And he was obsessed with making money. He married his wife, Linda, in his last year at university, and they immediately had a family. But his drive to become rich was taking its toll on the family after a few years. He was virtually spending all his time at work as a lawyer, leaving almost no time for Linda and no time for the family and no time for his relationships. And after a few years, it got to the point where Linda was seriously considering leaving him. And then one night they sat down together and talked about their situation. And they came up with a solution that completely shocked their family, their friends, their acquaintances and neighbors. They decided that love of money was killing their married life. It was killing their relationship with each other and killing their family life. And so even though Millard and his wife were by now multimillionaires, they gave away all their money. They gave away every last penny they had. And they moved to an interracial community in Georgia called Koinonia. And from their experience in living in this community in Koinonia, Millard got the idea of building nonprofit homes with 0% interest on loans, and to build the homes for the poor and in partnership with the poor who would then occupy these homes. Thus, in 1976, Habitat for Humanity was founded. And the idea caught on, and Habitat for Humanity now operates in 40 countries throughout the world, and they build more than 10,000 homes for the poor and with the poor every year. And so I think this brings us back to today's gospel. Today, Jesus is using some very strong language and extremely strong imagery in order to make a very important point in the spiritual life. It's an essential and a very important point because if we obey what Jesus says, we will then eventually reach heaven. If we don't pay attention to what he says today and we don't put this principle into effect, our lives will probably end up in hell. In fact, when you think of it, the one thing that everyone in hell has in common, even though all their sins are probably very different, and their situations are different, the one thing that they all have in common is that they did not listen to what Jesus said today in the gospel and did not put that principle into effect. And so what does Jesus say in the gospel today that is so very important? Well, he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Better for you to enter life maimed than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Now, Jesus doesn't mean this to be taken literally, because it's always wrong to harm ourselves. But he's using this very shocking language to get our attention and to communicate to us how very important it is that we be willing to sometimes even take drastic measures to separate ourselves from whatever might be leading us into sin and whatever might be preventing us from living the gospel. And I think that's beautifully illustrated by the true story behind the founding of Habitat for Humanity. Millard and his wife Linda saw that his obsession for money was literally killing his marriage and family life. And they decided that the only course of action they had left was to get rid of all their money and move to an entirely new location away from all the bad influences around them. They performed this radical surgery that we hear Jesus talk about in today's gospel. And not only did God richly bless their marriage and family life, but he made their lives into a rich blessing for others. And so today's gospel, I think, invites us to ask ourselves the question, how vigilant are we in avoiding anything that could lead us into sin or cause us to lose the kingdom of God? Is there anything in my life right now that keeps leading me into serious sin? And am I willing to do radical surgery to remove that from my life? For example, does my participation in sports cause me to regularly miss Mass on Sundays? If so, am I able to get to Mass Saturday evenings? And if I'm not able to, am I willing to let go of that sport because it's causing me to commit a serious sin every Sunday in my life? Does my employer require me to work on Sundays at a job that's really not necessary for sustaining the life and health of other people? If so, well, can I switch shifts so I don't have to work on Sunday? And if my employer does not allow me to do that, am I willing to look for another job? Do my friends or certain relationships always lead me into serious sin? If so, am I willing to talk to my friends and agree with them that we need to change our behavior? If not, am I willing to drop those relationships and look for new ones? Is my cell phone or computer leading me into serious sin? If so, am I willing to put blocks on it so that I cannot access those areas of the cell phone and computer or the internet that lead me into sin? And if for some reason this is not possible, then am I willing to get rid of them, except for what I need for work? Jesus is deadly serious about the near occasion of sin, that we just have to get rid of them from our lives. That's why he's using such strong language today. The saints tell us that God always expects us to do what we're capable of doing to avoid sin. If we do what we're capable of doing, and then we're unexpectedly tempted in a situation we did not foresee, God's grace will then be with us to help us overcome the temptation. But if we knowingly and deliberately put ourselves into a near occasion of sin, God withdraws his grace and his help because we did not do what we could have done. Then sooner or later, we will fall in that near occasion of sin into serious sin, because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without his help and grace, we cannot avoid sin. And so, So Jesus is deadly serious about it. The saints all write about this and say it's deadly serious. And the church takes this gospel very seriously as well. Every time you and I go to confession, before the priest is allowed to give us absolution, we have to say an act of contrition. In the act of contrition, we express our sorrow for sin, and we say that we will do all we can to avoid the near occasion of sin. If someone is not willing to do that, then as priests, we're not able to give them absolution, and the person then leaves the confessional still with their sins on their soul. Just to give you a better understanding of how this works, I'll just come up with a hypothetical situation. Suppose someone comes into the confession and says, "Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I have a problem with alcohol." The priest might say, "Okay, well, are you willing to try to limit yourself to just two or three drinks and then no more?" And if the person says, "Yes, I'll do that," fine, the priest will give absolution. If a month later the same person comes in and says, "Father, I still have a problem with getting drunk," trying to limit myself to two or three drinks has not worked, I don't have the strength, then the priest will say, well, are you willing to pray daily about it? Maybe come to Mass one or two extra times during the week? Are you willing to practice one act of self-denial in some other area every day? Yes, Father. Okay, great. So the priest gives him absolution. A month later, the person may come back in again and says, "Father, I'm still getting drunk. I've tried everything you've said. Limiting myself has not worked. Coming to Mass extra and extra prayers has not worked. Doing little acts of self-denial has not worked. I'm still drinking." Well, the priest might say, well, why are you drinking? "Well, because of problems in the family. There's a lot of stress, and I'm doing it to relax." And the priest might say, are you willing to try to go for counseling so that you can learn new strategies to deal with stress and maybe help solve the problems in your family? And the person might say, "Yes, Father, I'll do that." And then the priest will give him absolution. Next month, the guy comes back and says, "Father, still getting drunk." And the priest might say, have you done everything I've asked so far? And the guy may say, "Yes, I have, but it's still not working." "Okay, well, how about you join AA? Because in AA, you're given a partner that you can call every time you feel like drinking, and he helps you talk it out instead of resorting to drinking." And the guy might say, "Okay, Father," and so the priest gives him absolution again. The next month, the guy may come back and say, "Father, I'm still getting drunk even more often than before. It's really how I relax and relieve stress in the evening. I've tried everything you've said. I've tried to limit myself to two drinks. I pray daily, attend Mass, not just on Sunday, but once or twice a week. I perform an act of self-denial or small act of charity every day. I've been in AA and counseling for months, and nothing is helping. What else can I do?" Well, the priest may say, you realize that getting drunk is a mortal sin. And if it happens, you cannot go to communion until you've gone to confession. And you realize that getting drunk is a mortal sin. It puts your eternal salvation in danger. It's a great jeopardy. And the person may say, "Yes, Father, I realize all that." the priest may say, "Then we'll keep up all those practices that you've been doing, but there's one more thing you just have to do." And the person may say, what is that, Father? And the priest will say, you have to get rid of all the alcohol in your house so that when you come home and you're tempted, it's simply not available for you to drink. Are you willing to do that? And the guy will say, "Okay, Father, I'll do that." Next month, the guy comes in and says, "Father, I'm still getting drunk whenever I come home from work." And the priest may ask, do you have alcohol in the home? And are you willing to get rid of it? And the man may say, I tried, but I realize I can't do that, Father. My wife and I are part of a wine tasting club. All our best friends are there as well. We regularly host dinners and in order to taste new wines. I just can't do that. That would cut into my social life, and I just can't do that. Well, if somebody was to say something like that to us, then the church says that as priests, we cannot give them forgiveness. We have to withhold absolution. We have to say, I'm sorry, I cannot at this time give you God's forgiveness, and you cannot go to Holy Communion again until you get rid of all the alcohol in your house and stop going to those wine-tasting dinners. Once you've done that, then come back, and I'll be happy to give you absolution. And so the church takes this idea of near occasion of sin also very seriously, not only Jesus and the saints, but the church as well. And so Jesus says to us today, if your hand causes you to sin, if your foot causes you to sin, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it off, tear it out. In other words, even if something in our life is as dear to us as part of our own body, if it's something that is continually leading us into serious sin, we have to sacrifice it, take it out of our lives. Because if we don't, what will happen is that eventually we get used to that sin. We start thinking of it as not a big deal, and we start to rationalize it. And then if we die unexpectedly, we would end up in hell. And so Jesus is lovingly warning us not to allow that to happen in our lives. Instead, to get into the habit of being vigilant over how we live our lives and be willing to do whatever it takes to avoid anything or anyone that leads us into sin so that the sin does not become a habit. This is also a sign of our genuineness of our love for God, that we're willing to put our friendship with God in first place in our lives. And so may the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was the best and first disciple of Jesus, help us to love him the way she loved him and to put him first in our lives as she put him first.